Good evening. I hope you all can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you.
Please join me in saying the Anabawa. I'm getting some static change roles. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedula Chemincha, Tatir Tserura, Alephet Gimel Yud Tach Tadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufreshayan Sintet Nun. The letters from the month of Kislev. The Samach that created the constellation Keshet, the rainbow. And the Gimel that created the planet Tzedek, the planet Jupiter. Together, Samech and Gimel have a gematria of 63, which is the gematria for the name that relates to the tetragrammaton in the level of Binah. Samech and Gimel together tends to teach us or remind us to support in the fallen, to work well. Nagibor Dorshehudcha Kivavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalad Yud Kaf Shin Barchem Tacharem Rakame Sitkacha Tamid Gamlem Betetresh Zaditaf Gimel Chasin Kadosh Birov Tucha Nael Adatah Hetkuf Bet Tetnunayan Yachid Gea Lamcha Pene Zokre Kiddushata Yud Gimel Lamed Pezayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziyakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadi Yud Taf. We're going to read the four verses that we read that connects us to the energy of last year and this year. Last year is 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 10. Wesamti makom leami li Yisrael untati vishakan takta vilo yirgaz od vilo yosifu Vine avla la anoto ka asher barishona. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as at the first. And as we know, this verse was connected to the energy of last year, 5774, and there was sufficient change that there was not a peace treaty, but a signature. There was an end to the fighting in the south, but the fighting is continuing in Jerusalem. The fighting is caused for many reasons, primarily because the nation is not doing its work, as we will come to understand when we look at the three verses from this year. Those three verses start with Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kamalo tishemi meni lo tarpeni ad bili roki. The English translation is not really beneficial, but I will read it for you anyway. How long will thou not look away from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? The word spittle is ruki, which actually is spelling my coldness, my distancing myself from people. The reason we read this verse is because it is the only place in the Tanakh that the word Tafshin Ayin He, which is the name of the year itself, it's the only place in the Tanakh where that year's name is used. And the translation of that is looking away. Don't look away from the spiritual. Don't look away towards the physical. This is the message of this particular verse. Make sure that you care about others, that you're not cold to others. A second verse that relates to this year is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavo iyam. Asher yitchabe sham v'shavtem elai el nachon v'halachti itchem v'haya im yeshno baret v'hipasti oto bekol alfe Yehuda. The English translation: see, therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye back to me with the certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out among all the thousands of Yehuda. The only name that is written in this verse is the name Yehuda, meaning the tribe of Judah, meaning the Jewish nation. And we always have to remember that the children of Israel have 12 tribes, and only one tribe, the tribe of Yehuda, is active, and the world calls them Jewish, calls us Jewish. If you're a child of Israel, and you were born as a Jew or converted into being a Jew, you are connecting to the tribe of Israel. This particular verse is saying that somewhere in the tribe of Israel, among the thousands of Israel, is hiding the angel of death. Because the tribe of Israel is teaching, we are superior to other people. We have corrected ourselves. We need to keep separate from other people. And this teaching is a corruption of what the Torah actually says. The third verse is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kigelo la netzach yovedo roav yom ruayo. The English translation: yet he shall perish forever like his own waste. They that have seen him shall say, where is he? The question, where is he, is the word ayo. But ayo is actually can be translated. It's a three-letter word that can be translated as his island. If you keep away from people, if you are bent on what's yours and what's important to you without taking into consideration other people, this is the people who are looking and will be asking when we remove the angel of death this year, as these three verses teach us we are capable of doing. If we change ourselves, and if we have certainty that it will happen, the people who will say, where is he, are those people who act as islands unto themselves. We're going to read a verse from the Zohar. The controls on the phone say you can ask questions anytime by pressing star 6. Hope you will. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabari Fu Shkinte Bidhilu or Himud Filu Lakta, Shem Yud Kebavavke, the Yehudah Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael. We are reading this verse from the Zohar for one simple reason. Because we want to unify the Yud, the He, the Vav, and the He. We want to unify the Shekhinah with Zeranpin, the male with the female. We want to create unity. V'siru tadihu amara zad shimasha dehu hevel dekayem alma ve'ihu razale a'ala barnash legoy mehem enuta ila'a dekud shabarihu ugin kach Kol ma dichot haye darga lavihu razad mahaim nuta ve'ad ketiv ve'en yitiron hamad hashemesh bekol asher na'asa ha'tachat Hashemesh dehatachot Haila itzterich le'itabaka. This is verse 15 of the parasha Vayetze from the Zohar. The reason he began with the mystery of the sons, referring to Kohelet, that is, he began his book with the verse, and the sun also rises, and the sun goes down, is that it is a vanity. Remember from last night and the night before that vanity means hevel. The name Abel means breath. But it's translated in the book of Kohelet as meaning vanity. Vanity of vanities is what it says, doubled. So vanity that sustains the world is a secret for bringing man to the supernal faith of the Holy One, blessed be He, so that he will merit the supernal mochin of Bina, the brains of Bina, called the supernal faith of the Holy One, blessed be He. Therefore, whatever is beneath this grade, that is underneath the sun, is not the secret of faith and does not pertain to holiness. Therefore it is written, and there was no prophet under the sun. And in anything that is done under the sun, for we should not cleave underneath it. And as we spoke last night, what comes underneath the sun is not holy, as it says in this Zohar, but what is above the sun, which is above Chesed and Geburah, is in the three upper Sefirot. Keter Hakman Bina. At this level, there are secrets. There are new things. And that is what the study of Kabbalah leads you towards. Does anybody have any questions before we begin? As you know, I'm just letting people know in case there are some new people. The reason we bring a verse from the Zohar is to bring holiness into our space. And the reason that we read the Ana B'Koach is to bring the energy of creation into our space. Tonight's class is available on the Yeshem website. If you go to the Revealed Wisdom page and scroll down to row 12, the right column, it's a link that says B'nai Noach and B'nai Yisrael. And this is a series of classes that we will be giving tonight, tomorrow night, and probably next Monday night. and possibly longer, because the material is very extensive if you wish to go into the details. Earlier, I sent out an email a few months ago explaining my understanding of the 10 levels of human beings. And it's really talking about a question of what is the child of Noah, B'nai Noah, and what is the child of Israel, B'nai Israel, the children of Israel. And briefly, I should go on. Yesterday, Sunday morning, we gave a class on You Are Who You Hate, in which it was made very clear that every human being comes from the world of chaos, the world of tohu and bohu. And when those worlds broke, meaning that the sparks of souls fell into the klipot, all of those human beings fell down. Adam was being one of them, but there were many others, all composed of Adam. And that level of world comes from the Torah in the book of Genesis, where it describes the eight kings of Edom, who were kings in Edom prior to there ever being a king in Israel, is the words of the Torah. And in that teaching from the Arizal, we learned that every human being was in that first king of Edom. And that Moses was the corrected aspects of the human being. As people correct themselves, they rise spiritually, they grow spiritually, and they become a higher level. That higher level is the children of Israel, represented by Moses, our teacher. The enemy of Moses is the heir of Rav. The enemy of Moses is Bilam. Bilam is every human being who is not corrected. And tonight we're going to understand my understanding of how we go from Bilam, uncorrected, to Moshe, corrected, to the children of Israel. And how these different levels, and there are 10 levels in my opinion, relate to each other. So what spiritual level do you aspire? If you don't have the desire to be something, you will never reach that desire. You will never reach that level. So what spiritual level do you desire to aspire to? Most people really never ask this question. Yet it is an important question to ask, since there is much confusion of the terms that refer to people and their level of consciousness, not their level of tools, not their level of abilities, not their level of wealth, their level of consciousness. Because all of those things I mentioned, abilities, character, personality, wealth, children, all of these things come from your desire, which is your level of consciousness. In Kabbalah, the term desire to receive and level of consciousness mean the same thing. This is especially true for spiritual people, since today the term religion, spiritual, and many other terms are used by many with very few clear definitions. It is the intent of this essay to provide a list of spiritual levels of consciousness and explain and define these terms as the Kabbalists use these terms and how the Kabbalists define these terms. Essentially, your desire to receive was what the way you were created. when Adam and Chava, which was, is, are composed of every human spark of soul, when Adam and Chava ate from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, they fell. That falling was the injection of selfishness into the desire to receive. So the Kabbalists now refer to that desire to receive as for oneself alone. And they teach that the correction to return to the higher level, we need to transform our selfish desire to receive into a level where we share, where our desire to receive is to receive in order to share. There's some aspect of paradox in that statement, and tonight is not the night that we can go into it, because that's the whole study of Kabbalah. But I refer you to classes 5 and 6 of our basic class to get some depth of understanding of the paradox and how to transform the paradox. Levels of souls, levels of spirituality, religions, nations, levels of consciousness. In today's parlance, the term nation and religion are not related to each other. The term soul, consciousness, and spirituality are used by many interchangeably, and by many having different meanings and meaning different things. All of this creates confusion. So let us define these terms, and places to start to define them is the Hebrew language and the usage within the Old Testament of the Bible. In the Old Testament, everyone spoke one language, which was the Hebrew language. People were identified by their lineage, which was based on 3 levels or generations. Thus, Noah is the son of Lamech, who is the son of Methuselah. The Bible does not identify anyone by family name, since there is no family name. Each person comes from or is by a soul part of Adam and Chava. Yet the name of a person does not identify where within the body soul part of Adam that they come from. Prior to the Tower of Babel, families developed, yet they were related as rulers and kings along with the firstborn energy that provided the energy of the priesthood. After the Tower of Babel incident, the families developed by language and the attitude of a nation and a culture. There were 70 nations, which means that there were 70 languages. Each language caused the thinking of the people of that nation to think in a particular way, to define their desire to receive in a particular way. The names of a language give us hints and information about the practicing of this language. These hints relate to the personality, the character traits of these nations. Again, none of these family identifiers related to the part of the soul that a person came from Adam or Chava. Much of our confusion comes from this lack of connection that originated by the names that people called each language or family without identifying the part of Adam and Chava that they came from. Much of our confusion comes from this lack of connection. All of the confusion about language also applies to family name. And levels of consciousness as well. Let us try to define the confusion and clarify the confusion. So by the method of defining these various terms that I've mentioned above. We also have a teaching that indicates that it is important for the soul to know its name. While the body also needs to know its name, when the body dies and the soul leaves the physical world after a lifetime of being united as body and soul. We learn from the names of angels that the name of something relates to its purpose. Names of angels have attached, sometimes, a name of the Creator, such as Hashem, or El, or Elohim, or Echieh, or Shaddai. These are also other names of Hashem that utilize for this purpose as well. With this background, let us start to address the kinds of classifications that make sense and also become complete and meaningful in our lives and in our world. We're going to start by the definitions that come from the Arizal, Rabbi Isaac Luria, about the names of the five levels of soul. The lowest level is the nefesh, usually translated as life force energy. It's also called ki or chi in the Eastern world. The nefesh resides in the blood and provides a transition from the body to the higher levels of soul. According to Rabbi Bar Sadak, a modern Kabbalist, we learn that the nefesh energy, or soul, is used as a medium of exchange between the various worlds and entities within the creation. Our sages also teach that we can lose nefesh energy through various negative actions, and can add to the life force energy through various positive actions. There is a limit to how much life force energy can be added, since in the physical world most people die, and all people must leave the frame of reference called physical. We also learn that people die when the nefesh energy falls below a certain level, or they reach a specific age that is relative to their goal in this lifetime. A nefesh soul is sometimes referred to as an animal soul. This translation of animal soul indicates that it is not at a human level as of yet. It does not mean that the animal soul can be used as energy transference. The next highest level is called Ruach. The translation of Ruach is spirit or wind. A ruach needs a completely connected nefesh to be its garment or its covering. If the nefesh does not complete the task of correcting itself in its first lifetime, then the ruach may not use that related nefesh, but utilize something called a ger ruach, or a foreign spirit, in any subsequent reincarnations. To our knowledge, the name of a ruach does not tell us where within Adam and Chava it originates and what is its tikkun. Neshama. Excuse me a second. Neshama is a level of soul that normally stays within the body, yet has the free choice to leave the body and return to the level of surrounding light. As a reference, differences to the concept of inner light. That part of the soul that has been revealed and stays within the physical body. The Hebrew word for name, Shem, is within the word Neshama, and thus is hinting to us that the part of Adam and Chava that this soul part comes from is available to us through certain techniques of letter intertwining, letter substitutions, and sometimes the hint is through the use of one of the levels of gematria. In the tribe of Yehuda's Orthodox morning prayers, we are instructed to intertwine our first name with the word neshama, while having the consciousness that we are connecting to the neshama of Adam, or Chava. Here's an example of my name of Hanoch. Chet Nun, Nun Shim, Vav Mem, Kaf Sofit He. My tikkun, or service to Hashem, these are two different things, is to teach the hidden wisdom of Hashem. This comes from the name Hanoch, as has been explained elsewhere in my classes. There is also a hint as to which part of Adam my soul spark comes from, in my opinion. Yet this soul spark hint is not sufficient to let us know which part of the body, soul of Adam, I come from. This information is not yet complete. The next level of soul is called Chaya, and it is the level the Hasidic Kabbalah calls the unconscious. Most of the time, this level exists outside of the body and is considered the aura by the people who have psychic abilities. They notice or interact with the aura of a person. It is actually much more than the unconscious, since it also holds the doorway to what the New Age systems call the Akashic Records. What the majority of these New Age teachings suggest is that the history of that individual that they visit and are informed about is actually what happened in previous lifetimes. This is not a complete understanding. Each time a decision point is made, a new file is created in the Akashic Records, and that shows the potential lives that could have been made by that decision. When someone accesses the Akashic Records, they need to know which aspect they are looking at. All of the potential lives are available to peruse in the true and total Akashic Records. Yechida is the highest level of soul. This is the unity of the human species. It is rarely accessed. Moshe is the only one that we know got to this level, and he did not actually get there and stay there. Moshe represents the corrected human soul, which includes all 12 tribes of the children of Israel. The other 70 nations will eventually all integrate into the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. This is the central issue of spiritual growth of each human being. The Yechida is not the part of the soul that goes into the body of any human being, and it actually represents more than any body can accept of one person. There is much to add to the above discussions. Please review the approximately 200 classes on our Advanced Reincarnation series to understand a little bit more of what I said above. We have actually only taught 67 of those 200 estimated classes. Each week we continue to add to them. They're taught Tuesday nights at 7 p.m., except for tomorrow night, where I plan to continue the teachings from this night. The 70 or the 73 nations. Let us truly begin to understand the true codes of the Torah. There are 12 children of Israel, which became 12 tribes, and relate to the 12 signs of the zodiac, which also has a relationship to the body of Adam and Chava, as well as a relationship to the 12 elemental letters of the Hebrew alphabet. These zodiac signs also relate to the 7 double letters, and also to the 3 mother letters. Thus, everything is included in the letters and the creation, and all of this is revealed by the various levels of names and aspects of the Hebrew letters. All of these connections are clarified in the 12 months of the Hebrew year, which is sometimes 13 months in its leap year. With that understanding, let us start to realize how the 12 tribes relate to the body of Adam and Chava. Kabbalah teaches that Adam and Chava are two parts of one whole. They were created back to back and then were changed to be separate sexes and beings. Due to this teaching, what is said about one sex applies to the other, with some differences, of course. These differences are usually ignored. I will ignore them except where I can't, and I will discuss them where they need to be discussed. Please note, everything up to now is revealed by the sages of the Kabbalah, or can be expressly extrapolated from their teachings. What is below is my own thoughts, and while I know that these teachings are truth for me, they need to be evaluated by each person to determine if they are truth for you. A human body has 12 large components from the physical perception of a body. They are the following parts. Some of these parts have Sephirot identified with them and others do not. This is the same idea and mistake that is made by many students of the Eastern teachings dealing with yin and yang and the seven chakras. Many people relate the seven chakras to the seven lower sephirot, and this relationship is based on putting round cubes into square holes. The relationship works if the circles are smaller than the squares, but it is not truly correct. Here are the 12 parts of the bodies. There is a head, which is the sephirah of Keter. There is a neck, which is not a sephirah, yet relates to the non-sephirah of Dat, which is the source of the corrected aspect of humanity, Moses. The right arm is Chesed. The left arm is Gevurah. The chest, which runs from the diaphragm to the neck, is Tiferet. The spine and the sex organ relate to creation as well as to Yesod. The right leg from the diaphragm to the knee is Netzach. The left leg from the diaphragm to the knee is Hod. Both feet together, knees to toes, including the heels, is called Malchut. The right elbow, the left elbow, the right knee, and the left knee. If you add up those items, there are 13. If you take out the dot, there are 12. This relates to the 12 tribes. I did not identify the tribes. That is done in the Sefer Yetzirah, where it also identifies the Hebrew months. The question that I'm asking is, why are there 13 components? This relates to the idea of Moshe being a hub soul that relates to the whole of the human species, all 70 nations. To understand this, read the lesson number 11 of You Are Who You Hate, which is section 18 of the book itself. If you want to relate these 13 components to the tribes, here are some ideas, but I have never seen the list completed, and so I do not recommend that you complete it without a great deal of contemplation and relating it to your own intuition. Leah, the wife of Jacob, had 6 sons and 1 daughter. This daughter, Dinah, according to the Midrash, became the grandmother of Joseph's wife, the daughter of Potiphar, in Egypt. Jacob told us in the Torah that the sons of Joseph became his sons, since both his mother and the father are Jacob's descendants. Rachel and the two handmaids each had two sons each. If you add this up, you find that there are six sons from Leah and six from the three other wives, plus two from Joseph, and this totals 14 children, 14 sons, plus Dinah, a total of 15 children. A student of Kabbalah knows that 15 relates to the upper worlds of Yud and Hay together. One tribe, one son, was tithed to Hashem. That is the tribe of Levi, who was donated to work in the temple, either as a Levite or as a priest. The two sons of Joseph represents the double portion to Joseph of being the firstborn. Joseph is considered not one of the tribes, since he was elevated to the Yesod channel of the world when Pharaoh elevated him to be his second in command. Thus we have the following double sets of tribes. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Issachar, Zebulun, Gad, spelled G-A-D, Naphtali, Benjamin, Asher, Joseph, Dan. Then there's the second set of 12 tribes as follows. Reuben, Shimon, Ephraim replaces Levi according to my suggestion. Yehuda becomes king, as in King David and King Messiah, Mashiach. Issachar, Zebulun, Gad, G-A-D, Naphtali, Benjamin, Asher. Manasseh replaces Joseph. Again, this is my just suggestion. Dan. The temple is served by the tribe of Levi, which is the 13th tribe. This explains that Jacob was supposed to have 14 sons and one daughter, for a total of 15 children. This also relates to the idea that Noah was to have more children than the three races of Shem, Japheth, and Ham, the white, the black, and the yellow, or the oriental. The jealousy of Ham relates to the desire not to share part of his inheritance, the physical world, with additional children. Our sages teach us that what happens to the fathers happen to the children. We will include more of these discussions and explanations in our next class. Are there any questions? To ask a question, just press star 6. And while I'm waiting for questions, I will again announce the pattern of teaching. Since I am traveling, I won't be teaching except for tomorrow night this week. I'm spending Thanksgiving with my grandchildren and my daughter in San Francisco. But Monday, I'm planning to continue the third class of this series at 7 p.m. Tuesday next week, I will continuing my route. I'm not sure I will have a fourth class then, but I know the material that I wish to teach about the differences in the mitzvot between the children of Noah and the children of Israel, and the differences in the levels of consciousness and how you define them and how you relate to them. It's a long series of classes. What I'm trying to get across to people is that we are all one, but there are still levels within that community, within that cycle. There are hierarchy, and we need to be aware of what is a hierarchy, not to feel superior to another, but to understand our relationship and responsibility to others. Are there any other questions?
I don't understand why there's double sets of tribes.
The question that's being asked is, why are there two sets of 12 tribes? Mm-hmm. Joseph is king in Pharaoh's land, right?
In Egypt, yeah.
Joseph has two children. Jacob, in his deathbed, takes Joseph's two children and adopts them. If you read the Torah, that's the wording. It doesn't say adopt, it says the Hebrew word. They become Jacob's children. So we now have 11 sons, because Joseph is no longer a son. He's king. But we have two children. So we have 13 sons for Jacob. How do we resolve that? You resolve it because Levi has been tied to the temple, to the service of God. That's one set of 12. But before that happens, there were 12 children. There were 12 sons. There are differences in the cycle of history of what happened to the 12 sons of Jacob in the Torah, and what happened to the 12 tribes of Israel in the Torah based on those changes. One set of children was dealing with a level of themselves. The other set of children was dealing with the level of the tribes and walking in the desert and so forth. Does that help to understand it?
Yes.
Because the question is a good question. The answer is confusing because it's not clear. Mm-hmm. Why do we have it this way? I haven't answered the why. Maybe I don't know the why. Or maybe I have an idea what the why is, but it's each person has to determine this for themselves. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? I wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. I remind you that tomorrow evening, Tuesday at 7 p.m., we will be continuing this class. Shalom to all.
Shalom.